In general, the way to stem the burden of diabetes is to encourage people to have better lifestyles. Are there ways that we can tweak that basic incentive contract to make it work particularly well for people who are impatient?
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. Many people are impatient, and when we want them to change their behaviour, should we be designing incentives that recognise that impatience? And how big is the benefit if we do? Well, there's a lot less evidence on this than you might imagine, so a recent intervention in India's healthcare system is not just interesting, it's potentially hugely important for the future of how we treat diseases like diabetes. Rebecca Dizon-Ross of the University of Chicago Booth School was one of the researchers, and Rebecca's here today. Rebecca, welcome to Vox Dev Talks.
Why, thank you, Tim.
Your experiment was about incentivizing people with type 2 diabetes and pre-diabetics as well to do more exercise. How costly is diabetes in India?
Diabetes is a huge problem in India. So the rates are about what they are in the US, and the costs are estimated at something like 4% of GDP. So it's a very costly disease and one that the government is very interested in trying to stem the health and financial burdens from.
So to stem those burdens, what sort of behavior are you trying to encourage here?
In general, the way to stem the burden of diabetes is to encourage people to have better lifestyles. So to have better diet, better exercise, and take their medicines. So the one we decided to focus on exercise in particular, because we had a nice intervention for that. But those are sort of the three main channels that are key for improving diabetes.
If you want to incentivize people to behave in some way, then there's a standard incentive payment. And it's one that we've seen on some papers that we've talked about on Vox Dev Talks. You pay people regularly to complete a task. What's wrong with that?
So there's nothing wrong with that. That can be a very effective way to incentivize people. What we explore in our work is to think about, are there ways that we can tweak that basic incentive contract to make it work particularly well for people who are impatient? And the reason we're focused on people who are impatient is because those are the ones we think might particularly struggle with these behaviors, because these are behaviors where the benefits are only long-term, but the costs are near-term. So if you're impatient, you might not do them. And so we want to make sure that the incentives work well for these people who are impatient and not normally doing it.
We often talk in economics about impatience as if it's just one thing, but if I understand, you have teased out two sorts of impatience here. Why are we doing this?
We're definitely not the first people to tease out the two forms of impatience. That's a point that's been made many times before by other researchers. But we are one of the first to apply this idea to the concept of incentives. Mm. And so the reason we do that is because both theoretically and empirically, it seems that people have different types of impatience. So in particular, we distinguish between how impatient you are over payments. So for example, like a payment you might receive in 30 days versus today, versus how impatient you are over consumption and effort. And so, yeah, we distinguish between those things because people do have different types of impatience in those different domains. And so we wanted to explore, does that have implications for incentive design? And our work finds that it does actually have large implications because of these differences in behavior.
Right. So let's look first at people who are impatient about effort. How does this mean that you could change the incentive?
So our prediction that we developed is that a type of contract, which we call a time-bundled contract, mm-hmm. will be a particularly good contract for people who are impatient over effort. So let me first tell you what a time-bundled contract is, and then try to trace through the intuition for why we think it would work well for people who are impatient over effort.
Okay.
So a time-bundled contract is one... Well, so let's first say what a time-bundled contract is not. A non-time-bundled contract, you're paid separately for your effort in every given period. So if I'm, say, incentivizing you to take actions on Monday and Tuesday, then your payment for your action on Monday is independent of what you do on Tuesday. Okay. That would be not time bundled. Mm-hmm. In contrast, if it's a time bundled contract, then your payment for action on Monday will depend on the action you take on Tuesday. So we're essentially bundling these two time periods together when we think about the payment.
I see. So it's kind of like in retail, what would be a loyalty bonus?
Exactly. That is exactly the right idea. So an example would be, let's say if I'm paying you to exercise or paying you to walk 10,000 steps, then a not time bundled contract might be, I'll pay you $1 for if you do it Monday, $1 if you do it Tuesday. Whereas a time bundled might say, I'll only pay you $2 if you do it on both days and nothing otherwise.
Rebecca, can you tell me a bit more about the intuition behind these time bundled contracts?
Yeah, so let me illustrate the basic idea of why I think they should be effective for impatient people with an example. So let's say I'm just incentivizing you to exercise on Monday and Tuesday. If I'm paying you in a not time bundled way, then on Monday, you're just going to think, compare how costly it is to exercise that day with the payment. You're never going to be thinking about your future effort. If instead I'm paying you in this time bundled way, where you know you'll only get payment if you exercise on Monday and Tuesday, then on Monday, you make this joint decision. Do I want to exercise today and tomorrow in exchange for a payment? And so if you're someone who's impatient over effort, then it actually seems cheap to you to sign up to exercise tomorrow. Because like being impatient over effort means you discount your future effort costs. And so you don't mind. You're like, yeah, I don't want to exercise today, but I don't mind signing up for tomorrow. So the more impatient you are, the more likely you are to exercise in this time bundled contract.
Now, how did you define your time bundled incentive then in this case?
In this case, we were paying people to exercise, as I said, and so everything was over a week period. So for the time bundled contracts, you got paid if you exercised at least 4 days or at least 5 days, but you got paid nothing if you exercised less than that. So if you only exercised 3 days in the week, you wouldn't get paid at all.
How well does that work?
So in our context, we found that on average, it worked about as well as not time bundling. So as just paying people for every step they took. But we saw that there was significant divergence based on how impatient people were over effort. And in particular, this time bundled contract worked better for people who were impatient over effort and worse for people who were not impatient over effort, which was actually very tied in with our theoretical prediction, which was that it would work better for people who are more impatient over effort.
Now, you also looked at increasing the payment frequency. So again, what's the thinking about how this might achieve the outcomes that you're looking for?
This was targeted for the other type of impatience. So this was, if people are impatient over payments, then the intuition is that you want to pay them more frequently because they will be more responsive the shorter the lag between their behavior and their payment. So that's an idea that's been brought up many times before. And we are certainly not the first people to come up with that idea, but there's surprisingly little evidence on whether it actually works. So it's sort of accepted as conventional wisdom that for incentives in these for exercise or health, you should be paying more frequently, but without much evidence to back it up.
So big reveal in this context, did it work?
So that did not work for us. We saw zero. Oh. So it's not that it was bad any worse, but it was just exactly the same. We saw no effect of increasing the payment from monthly to weekly to daily. So in our context, it didn't matter at all, which is important because it's often pretty inconvenient to pay people frequently. So we're saying you don't always have to do so. So that kind of frees things up for the policymaker.
And I imagine that might surprise a few people as well.
Yes, it surprised me. One of those people is me. Yeah, so we expected to see big effects based on sort of the literature we'd read and other evidence. So we were surprised, and we think a great question for future work is to figure out in what context does payment frequency work and in what context does it not. So we don't take our result to mean that payment frequency will never be effective, but rather that it's certainly not always effective. And we want to then do more work to discover in what context might people be impatient over payments and it matters to pay them frequently, in what context might it not matter?
So let's get back to your context particularly. What do we learn from this research about how we can design incentives in healthcare? Well, specifically for the purpose that you're intending in healthcare.
Yeah, so I think two key takeaways. One is that these time bundled contracts can be very effective, and especially so if you're dealing with people who are impatient over effort. So the more impatient you think your population is, the more you'd be tilted towards wanting to use these time bundled forms of contracts relative to more separable or non-time bundled contracts. And then I think the second lesson is that it doesn't always pay to pay people more frequently. So if you have to undergo significant costs to pay more frequently, that might not be worthwhile. And so worth investigating in your specific situation, whether that actually makes sense or not.
So is it really worth in these circumstances testing people to see how impatient they are, what sort of impatience they might have beforehand, and then you can design their incentives differently, and then you could get the best out of one type of person and the best out of another?
Yeah, that's a great point. Exactly. So I think you could use these insights in two ways. One is exactly what you're saying, sort of at the individual level, try to target what's the best incentive program for you. And then the other could be, if that's not feasible, target at the population level. So think about, you know, when we're designing incentives for this type of population versus this type of population, the more impatient our population is, the more that might tilt us towards one contract or the other.
I've seen time bundling incentive design in all sorts of contexts. It helps me when I'm learning a language online, for example. I get more points the number of days I keep it up. But can we use this incentive design more frequently in different economic contexts?
Yeah. So I think there was not going to be a universal answer that time bundling is always better or always worse. It's going to depend on the context. Our work focuses in on one dimension, which is how impatient over effort is the person. The more impatient they are, the more likely it is to work. But then there are other factors that we believe likely are at play as well, even though we don't investigate them directly. So for example, the sort of riskier the behavior is, or the more uncertainty there is about the future, the worse the time bundling is, the more kind of sure the future is, the better a time bundled contract will be. So there's a variety of different factors that might influence your decision. And our main point is that impatience over effort should be one of the key factors that policymakers take into account when they're deciding, should I be time bundling or not?
And what's the next step for your intervention? Because even if something achieves a small positive outcome, then the financial and health benefits are huge. Is there something more going to be done about this?
Yeah, we have two follow-on projects that we're exploring right now. One is pretty much finished and the other is more in the exploration stage. So the first is kind of seeing where this can go from a policy perspective. So in particular, we did this experiment in partnership with the government of Tamil Nadu. So that's one of the southern states in India with a very high rate of diabetes. After we showed them the results, they thought it was really promising and were interested in working with us to try to see how could this be feasibly implemented at scale. And could we do another evaluation to look at what's the effectiveness of a broader or more scaled up version of the program? So that's just in the planning stage. So I don't have any results for you yet, but that's one thing that we're working on. And then the other is to think about that point that you raised about how can we scalably customize incentive contracts at the individual level? Because that's not something that's really been done at scale. And so we wanted to think about, are there feasible ways to do that? So we have a project where we try out two different ways. One is tagging people based on observable characteristics. The other is allowing them to choose which incentive contract and offering them incentives to choose the way that we think they should. And so we've tried them both out, and they both actually seem very effective at increasing efficacy. So we're pretty excited about those results.
Well, you should be. It's a really good news story. Rebecca, thank you for telling me about it today.
Yeah, thanks so much, Tim, for having me. This was lots of fun.
The paper is called Incentivizing Behavioral Change, The Role of Time Preferences. And the authors are Shilpa Agarwal, Rebecca Dizon-Ross, and Ariel Zucker. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. If you enjoyed it, subscribe on your podcast platform. You'll never miss an episode, or you can find past episodes at voxdev.org.